where there's intense warfare, and that's exactly what we're talking about.
In these last days, God's people need to speak the truth. Hi, I'm David Heavener, and I'm doing just that with my brand new show, David Heavener Live, where we cover topics the church won't. Join me each and every week with my guest on David Heavener Live.
We cover things the church won't. I've said that a million times. But the thing I haven't said a million times, only maybe, I don't know, 900,000 times, is we are in the last days, you know? And I know you hear that all the time. I mean, I hear it all the time. It's last days. And 100 years ago, they said last days. But we have to remember, and you must understand, I must understand, that, well, let me put the scripture up, because it's right here. 2 Peter 3:8. Go get your Bible. You need a real Bible. 2 Peter 3:8. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years are like a day. That means his time is not our time. That means I believe right here and right now that we are actually in the last days. Not just the last days. I believe we are in the last day. In the last day. And Christians better wake up before it's too late. Because the last day is here, folks. I'm getting serious about this. You know, people pile into church and they'll do it this coming, I don't know, is this coming Sunday, Easter? I don't know. Because I don't celebrate Easter. I know it's Passover right now. And that Jesus said, God said, Bible said, Scripture says that we need to remember Passover. It's the one thing we do, not Easter. But they'll pile into church again with that nice little hat on, brim, nice clothes, go home, eat Sunday dinner, and think that God's okay with that. But this is the last day. And people leave church on a different level, which they came in on a lower level. But I pray that tonight we're gonna leave on a higher level than which we came in. And I'm excited tonight because, well, I got the boys in the room. I got some of the, what I feel like an anointed group of guys, and I'm gonna bring them on one by one. I wanna bring Rod Smith on. Rod, how are you, brother?
It's great to be here, David.
Good to have you, man, with the Millennial Mustard Seed. I've been on your show. I love what you're doing. You're reaching out. Are you reaching out to millennials? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, like 51% of the total downloads are coming from the ages of 18 to 45, which the millennial generation, the way I see it, is about 27-year-olds to 45-year-olds. So,
my goodness.
Works out well.
You got Michael Basham, your friend, on here. He's got a podcast.
My buddy Basham.
Your buddy Basham. Michael, how are you, buddy?
Oh, very good. Good to be here. Very happy here in the mountains, Western North Carolina. Just so thankful. Such an honor to be here with you, David.
Oh, so good to have you. You and the Spirit Force Network. And let's bring on Klaus. Klaus, how are you doing, buddy?
Doing well. Greetings to everyone. Good to be here. Honored.
I'm honored to have you. And we got Aaron Christian Davis here. Aaron, how are you, buddy?
I'm great. I just love everything that you guys are doing and just spreading God's word and his joy and his truth.
I love what you're doing, man. I got to show people what you've been doing for the ministry. Look at this, guys. The rod of God. Aaron made this the rod of God. Isn't that cool? I just love that. You actually made that, didn't you, Aaron? You made that.
Yeah, that was actually inspired by a recent visit from all of these men, and Rod specifically, and Klaus helping me out. Rod being the rod of God, and going back to Psalms 23:4, and hopefully using that as a tool to be able to use for good and for truth.
Awesome, awesome, brother. We've got Caleb Grambling on. Caleb, how are you, brother?
I am doing fantastic. Honored to be here.
Honored to Great have you, man. I just appreciate you guys coming on. Let me abuse you for the next 60 minutes in the name of Jesus. So, no, I'm just kidding. I want to bring on Shanita. Janita, what's the name of your podcast?
I loved it.
I'll bring you back. One of you guys, I think Caleb, it might be you. I've got a lot of noise going. Yeah, it's Caleb. All right, let's bring Caleb in again and see what we got going on. Oh, there we go. We got a lot of noise happening there, brother.
I got a helicopter flying behind me. He's about to pass. Might move it inside real quick.
All right, cool. All right, so I'm going to get right to the point. I talked just a minute ago and showed scripture that 1,000 days, 1,000 years is like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years. I mean, to me, and you guys can tell me what you think, but this tells me that we're not on God's time. God is not on our time, that God is on God's time. And we need to understand what God's time is. That I say we're in the last day. I want to hear what you guys say about that, and then we're going to go some different subjects we're going to cover here. Rod, I'll let you go first, buddy.
Yeah, there's a lot there. So there's a couple different words for time in Hebrew, just to kind of plant some seeds there. God is outside of time, in my opinion. And he's not restricted by time the way that he operates. He sees it all the way through, the beginning from the end. He is the only one who knows it to be that way. So experientially, time for us is a very interesting thing. And to kind of leave a bit of a cliffhanger to pass this on to somebody else.
Yeah.
It's the glory of God to conceal a matter, the duty of the princes and kings to seek it out. And these are one of these things where I don't think there's definitions alone that could even start to hint at the greatness of what God has done, placing us in a time slot of experience to literally be in the cosmic chess match. Shout out to L.A. Marzulli, because that's what this is. This is his everything. And then we have been sent in, known wonderfully and fearfully created to experience it, but above and beyond that, to then experience God within this slot of time we've been given. So it's a very fascinating conversation, David. Opens up many doors.
I tell you, here's the thing. It's either Jesus coming back or we're going to go to Jesus, but one way or the other, we're in the last day. Why? Because our life is a vapor. I'm going to ask Michael, have you ever seen a vapor hang around more than 3 or 4 seconds in the air, brother?
No, sir. I have not seen that. I have seen something. Now that you mentioned that, that must be the Holy Spirit, because on the way to the office today, there was a cloud that was keeping up exactly over my car with the sun shining right directly in front and the sun shining directly behind. And I'm just like, what the heck is this? So speaking of vapor, I think the Lord he's on this today. I feel the glory. Their glory is opening out, bursting upon us, brothers, because as the world gets darker, it says, it shall not come nigh thee. Only with your eyes will you behold the destruction of the wicked.
Absolutely.
But still don't get the nanobot vaccine.
the vapor is just for a second. Our life is just for a second. That's Amen. Why we must realize that even during this broadcast right now, folks, we're here with you live. If you may be watching as a download, this may be the last time you lay down. You remember laying down in bed or ever remember waking up in the morning. Your life, my life, our lives are like a vapor. That's why I say this is the last day. You know, I'm making Last Evangelist TV series, and I always tell people, you are someone's last evangelist. I'm someone's last evangelist, you know? I want to play a video, and then I'm going to go to the rest of you guys. I'm so excited to have you all here. It's kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of like Hollywood Squares, the old game show. The Brady Bunch. It's kind of like the Brady Bunch. But in these last days, Jesus said, as in the days of Noah, that's my coming. My coming will be as in the days of Noah. Well, I want to know what was happening in the days of Noah, because if Jesus said, when I come, it's going to be like the days of Noah, wouldn't we want to know what the days of Noah are like? So we can go, okay, Well, is this like the days of Noah? Let's check this out, guys.
The Bible says that Noah, he knew judgment was coming.
Right.
Says he was a preacher of righteousness for 120 years. And how the people must have mocked and scoffed at him. What are you doing building this boat? What are you talking about? Something's coming from the sky. And it's going, whatever. Which, again, is the same attitude Jesus says is going to be repeated.
Right.
Business as usual. Marrying and giving a marriage. That's right. What he was talking about, the days of Noah. But he's out there and he's saying, listen, guys, there's only one way to escape the judgment to come. You need, there's one door to that ark.
Right.
And you need to get in it.
Right.
And that's the only way. If you don't get in that ark, this wooden ark that I've been building, you're going to perish.
It's the New Day ark.
Right. And you know what the new ark is? It's still made of wood. It's called the cross of Christ.
Yeah. Amen.
And
Amen.
It's the only way. John 14, 6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. There's not a bunch of other arcs right. out there. There's only one way. That's the lie of the one world religion we talked about.
Right, right.
There's only one way, and we need to point people to the way out like Noah did in his generation.
Amen.
Uh-huh. Amen. You see, I got people out there saying, Dave, you were going to play something about the Nephilim, weren't you? Uh-huh. Well, yeah. we'll get into that later, but I want to get into the foundation. Guys, tell me if you agree, but we're in a day where we're proclaiming truth. We're out there, we're wake up, we watch and we warn, just like Noah. And they said he was crazy. I think people have called you all a little out there. They've certainly called me crazy. They've come against me like you wouldn't believe the past 7-8 years. But here's the thing. We're leading people to the cross, just like Noah was leading into the boat. That was the salvation, to get on that boat. They wouldn't listen to what he was saying. He was saying something to them they couldn't relate to. He was saying it's going to rain. Well, no, it hasn't rained in years, and it's the sun's out, and that's what's happening today. You know, you tell people we're in the last day, and people don't want to believe you because, well, people have been saying that for a long time, but we've got to come to the cross, and that is the ark, coming to the cross. Caleb, what say you on that, brother?
Thank you, Lord.
Man, I totally believe it. Yeah, I feel like we're definitely in the last day. I've seen a lot of signs pointing to that in my life lately, and I don't have a whole lot of, but what I do know is that these guys, especially Aaron Rod, I've been able to meet them and get to know Aaron. And I feel like the fellowship between us men has been the only thing lately that's been getting me through some of these dark times in the last day. Yeah. So I don't have a whole lot of knowledge on it, but I'm with you.
Yeah. Well, okay, so here's the thing. And I do want to come back and revisit camaraderie and guys getting together. I think there's a change going on in society that the guys are now tired of this sissy pussycat preaching canary, you know, congregation stuff, cotton candy Jesus. They want the real thing. And I think they're getting out going, hey, because for years they followed women into the church. And that's how all these songs, real syrupy songs, sounded like, I don't know, something like a 1970s, 1910 Fruit Gum Company. Yummy, yummy, yummy. I got love in my tummy. I don't want to talk about that. But anyway, I want to stay on track. You got me off there, Caleb. Guys are coming back. They're coming back into the church. They're stepping up to the church, getting back to the cross. We have Easter coming up. Jesus died for you and I, for all of us on the cross. The Father looked down. I know he had to have tears in his eyes, but that wasn't the end. The end was when he rose from the dead. The power of God brought him back to life, from the dead to the Father, to offer his blood. So what Noah was doing these last days is calling people to the cross, calling people to what? Repent. Repent is the cross. The salvation and the restoration, and they call it resurrection, was in the rising of Jesus, okay? But without the repentance, you have no resurrection. And this is why, Aaron, I want to ask you, and you may say that you're going to go out and hide Easter eggs. I don't know. We haven't talked about this. But Easter, is that something that has been ordained by God? Is it something you follow? What do you say on that? Why do people pile into churches? Easter's a big deal. They call it Resurrection Sunday now. But yet people don't remember Passover. You ask most Christians. Aaron, you have all the answers. I want to hear some of them, please.
Well, this would be a hard no for me. I do not follow Easter or Ishtar, however you want to, you know, view it. Yeah. Do not follow the traditions of man. You know, Jesus was very, very clear in this. So yeah, this is a holy week, but as far as the days of Noah, you know, so too shall it be in the second coming of the Son of Man. You know, we do have a life raft. You know, we have an ark, and it is the cross, and Jesus died for our sins. So I would just say to anybody, you know, we could be the last evangelists, and I would just pray that you hear this message and, you know, die to your sins, repent to your ways, your timing, your understanding, because you cannot understand God's plan.
Yeah, yeah. You know, thank you, Aaron. I appreciate that. Klaus, I want to go back to the cross and back to repentance. And again, we haven't talked about this. We're just asking the Holy Spirit to move. It seems like when I was a kid, there were altars down by the pastor. We go down, we could kneel, and we could repent. They were altars that we could repent. Now, I don't know, Klaus, your background or anything. So, but do you feel like today the church, I'm talking about the apostate church, not the real church, has lost the ability to repent, that they're not preaching repentance the way that they should?
Well, the Bible says that God is the one that leads us to repentance. So I don't think that the apostate church has lost the ability to repent. I think that God is calling all men to repent everywhere. I just think that most people don't know how to respond to the Lord calling them. Like with Samuel, when Samuel first had an encounter with God, the Lord was calling him to a special sacred place, but Samuel didn't know how to respond to the calling. And so I think that in today's churchianity or what have you, a lot of people, based on unbiblical traditions, they do not know how to respond to the voice of God. And that has limited people in experiencing repentance like God means for people to.
Oh, you know, Klaus, you hit the nail on the head, man. Amen. You are, yeah. That, amen. I mean, that's anointed. You know why? Because, and I've been on this wagon about repentance for quite some time, but people don't know how. Now, I'm not giving anyone a get out of jail free card. That's not what I'm doing. But what I'm saying is what you said. They don't know how to repent. It's like, you know, and I'm going to go a step further, Rob. I'm going to ask you, Rod, is, and this isn't church bashing. What I'm trying to do is get to the truth. I want to get to the truth in the way. That's all I want. I want everything to get out of the way. But when people go into church and you got a pastor up there, and he's not really telling you what repentance really means, giving you the opportunity, allowing you to want to say, exercise that. Well, how in the world, over generations of generations, are people going to know that? You know, the generations that are in church now, their generation probably didn't repent either. Rod, what you say on that, brother?
So like Klaus was saying, you know, the Bible is it's the map, this roadmap from outside of our time restraint that is there for our teaching, our correction, our doctrine. And so when we look at the Word of God and we remove the lens that you may be coming, you know, your hermeneutical hygiene, if I can say it, head nod to Dr. Chuck Missler, the late Dr. Chuck Missler. If we're more precise in our terms and we're taking that time to study in the Word of God and we understand what God is telling us, then we're called to plant seeds and water seeds.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're inculcating is that one person. I've said since day one, if this helps just one person and they repent and they start to get it and they develop this relationship, this intimate personal relationship with the Lord, like I could wash my hands and walk away from that. The Bible says there's a celebration in heaven when one sinner repents. And so this really takes a body to start to facilitate, like, who has the calling to be a teacher versus the shepherd versus the apostle versus the evangelist, right? And I mean, I don't believe in one gift isolated per individual. I think that there's a lot of crossover. But this is a body thing, because we know that the enemy has inculcated the four walls, right? The institution, the church, as we know it, with denominational preferences, which denomination means to dominate, right? Yeah. And to limit. There's no freedom of the spirit in a lot of those places. And I'm not bashing the church, because we are the church. The body is the church, in my opinion. But to answer your question in the best way possible, this is a body effort. It takes some humility, and we have to be Bereans, and we have to plant seeds and water seeds.
Yeah, Vanessa says, yeah, most people have no idea what repentance is, real repentance. For me, repentance is, well, having a broken heart is not repenting, but that's God's way of reaching me and touching my heart and showing me that I'm going the wrong way. Okay. But then repentance is when I tell God, this is for me, when I tell God, God, I don't want this anymore. I want to turn away from it. I want to turn away from it. Would you help me? That's what repentance is for me. We got to take a break, but I'd like to go around. We've got about maybe 45 seconds. Can I go around and just ask you guys what repentance is for you? Let's see. Caleb, I'll start with you real quick.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, repentance has always just been, for me, asking God to forgive my sins and show me a way around them, you know, all my mistakes. And
okay, good, good. Yeah. And how about you, Aaron?
Dying to my own selfish and fleshly desires.
Mm. Oh, that's good. Okay, Klaus, how about you, brother?
Repentance is turning away from our sins towards God, with the emphasis on turning to God.
Oh, that's good. Good, good. Michael, how about you?
Seeing Matthew 18, being converted and being humble, converted as in being born again, like little children, total revolution, totally not thinking you know what's right and just depending on God for everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Rod, we got about 10 seconds, brother.
Repentance for me is to shift, to turn, to do a 180 from the trajectory of the flesh, the mind of the flesh, the spirit of the age, and to look to God and say, only you can make this right, and I need you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you, guys. We'll be right back. Hang on with me. We're with a great, what I call God's warriors. And I want you to stay with me, because I feel like God has a lot more stuff that he wants to say. We'll be right back.
Christian TV series, The Last Evangelist, Season 1, Episode 1. I'm a special guest star in this, along with a famous actor by the name of Johnny Whitaker, and he plays an archbishop. I could be nominated for an Oscar for this. You could get The Last Evangelist right now. This is different. For a Christian film, it's intense. Well, here's what David Heavener says. Prophecy has now become reality. The Last Evangelist is a cutting-edge, end-time series on how Revelation prophecies are already being fulfilled today. From a demonic government controlled to the mark of the beast, it's a fast-paced criminal investigative show. CSI meets the Book of Revelations. Lisa Haven's in this. There's some other really good actor and actresses in here. David Heavener is a star. David's been in 50 films, 32 of which he's produced. So he's a good director and a great filmmaker. It's top-notch quality. Get your copy tonight.
Thank you, Paul. Paul makes me sound better, much better than I really am. But anyway, if you'd like to get the DVD, we have them. You can go to davidhebner.tv and watch it on there. I've got episode 1 and 2. 3 is coming out next month. It's about mind control. And here's 8 hours of interviews with all my buddies, L.A. Marzulli, Lake Grace, Russ Dizdar, Lisa Haven, on all these subjects that we're talking about tonight and more. Illuminati and so forth, go to davidhebner.tv /order. And then if you would like to support the ministry, that would be great. Just go to davidhebner.tv /give or text the word, and I like this word, chosen, to 91999. Go to 844-806-0006. I appreciate you guys so much. God bless you. So here's the thing, but the point I'm trying to make tonight, or I'm asking God, I think God wants to funnel through me with these gentlemen I have on, is we're in a last day. You know, we can't take it for granted. We've got to understand that we may not wake up tomorrow morning. We've got to understand that, not to take this vapor for granted. Do you see what I'm saying? We've got to respect God, and we've got to respect our bodies. Check this out.
What you do to your body, you do to the temple, to the house of the living God. Now, if you look in back of me and you see where I'm sitting now, and I told you I want my mansion to look like when I get to heaven, it's beautiful. I got a fireplace, I got a piano. But what if I told you I took spray paint, sprayed it all over it, and junked it all up? I took peanut butter, chocolate, and messed up the couch. You'd go, David, what are you, crazy? You're messing up the place you live. That's exactly what happens when we abuse our body. It's the things we put in it. We put in our brain, listening to trash, to garbage, to negativity, to people saying you can't do that, to people telling you you're too radical for God. We must stop that. The food that we put in our body. I want you to look at the labels next time you pick something up to eat it. First of all, if it's got a label on it, chances are you shouldn't be eating it.
Okay, man. This is where I really get thrown out of churches, guys. I go to potlucks and nothing is in its original form, because I'm a vegetarian, so I'd like to have some broccoli, and they'll show me five dishes of broccoli, but it doesn't look like broccoli. It's been whipped, chipped, beaten, casseroled, fried, poached, whatever you want to call it, but it ain't broccoli anymore. And I know we're laughing, but it's a serious situation. Think about it. Our body is the holy temple of the Holy Spirit. And we take care of our cars. We take care of, you know, but yet look what Christians seem to do with our bodies. Now, I know other people do it too, but we as children of God, Michael, I'll ask you, because you look like somebody that, you know, might take care of your body. Aren't we supposed to be an example? Aren't we supposed to go rise above the world? Yet I see people in the world that look better than a lot of Christians. Michael, what say you?
It's an exciting topic, sir. And yes, obviously, just best testimony I can share that proves the point is my grandfather's mentor, before eating right was a thing, or really taking good care of yourself, like before World War II, was filled with the Holy Spirit. His name was Rufus Mosley, and he declared that the Holy Spirit began to cause him to eat really well. He would eat like nuts and honey, and it improved his posture. He wasn't in the slouchy mode. A lot of Christians walk around kind of defeated, and because the enemy just bombards you with condemnation. And then during the COVID lockdowns, people were eating the comfort food. Yeah. Donuts and McDonald's delivered to their house while they're watching Netflix all day. You're like, no. Yeah.
But we laugh about this, but it's not really a laughing matter, is it? It's serious. Yeah. God gave us this body to take care of. Aaron, what say you on that?
I mean, I remember the first time I talked to Rod, and you know, we talked about like studying our enemy and just looking at the signs of the times. We've got Matthew 24. We've got everything right there. We have the word, right?
Yeah.
But then we also have, you know, obviously, what is it? Michael, what is it that you do now? What's it called? Uber Eats?
Oh, delivering. Yes. Yeah, I have discovered the joy of DoorDash and Uber Eats.
Yeah.
And a pile of tracts.
Yeah, I would say like convenience comes at a cost. And going into a gas station or going into a McDonald's and stuff, like, you know, reading the labels, yeah, it takes extra time. But like you said, David, take care of your temple. Your body is your temple. And
we got to take care of it. Rod, I have a question for you, but I want to play this next video. Let's check.
I said, how do you know you're gay? He says, I just know it. And I said, well, tell me about your childhood, your past. He said, well, the first thing I remember about my dad is he looked at me and said, I hate your guts. I don't have anything to do with you. The second thing is, I remember love came from a man, and it was my first encounter of real love. And I said, well, how old were you when this happened? He said, I was 11. I said, how old was the man who showed you love? He said, 42. But I said to this guy who worked for me for many years, I said, do you understand? You are not gay. You are a victim of a pedophile, of a pervert, of someone that preys on young boys. This really bothered me.
Man. So... and it's a true story. I had a guy, a gentleman, worked with me for years. He was my right-hand person. He actually took care of my youngest boy. He's 18 now, but he was a baby then. And I trusted him more with my children than I would most Christian daycare people. But this is true. It's a true story. I got into... So here's my question. You know, we look at people, I'm gay, I'm trans, I'm this, I'm that. But behind it all, these are just people. We are all just people, okay? And my question is, are Christians getting it wrong? A lot of Christians, are they not educated? Do they approach the subject, the situation correctly? Rod, we haven't talked about this. I don't know what you're going to say, but I'm asking you.
There's only two genders. That should qualify all future conversations. And it's a delusion, in my opinion, for two genders of the same kind to have any type of romantic relationship or anything like that. So, I mean, I take the Bible stance. I think it's unnatural. You know, they were given over to affections that were of not natural use of the body. As far as gay, I see this multi-layered. You know, I coined a term called the multi-layered effect and then the multi-layered reality. The multi-layered effect is us gleaming from God's word, this eternal truth that has consequences and there's spiritual ramifications for every choice that we make. The multi-layered reality is when the effect starts to go on for long enough that you start to build, you know, your worldview around the eternal word of God, what it has to say, and you start to encounter and sup with that. Yeah. Right? Drawing out from that. But for this topic that you're bringing to me, you know, I seen a YouTuber who was making, you know, a big video on five kids have been, you know, molested and some big politician was being exposed for it. And I'm like, man, that's crazy. You know, they're making a video on this. But I looked into the circle of people that I minister with directly. And I said, there's five people I know who have been molested in their lives, in my personal circle. These are people that I pray with, I lock arms with, I minister with. And, you know, I looked at it and I haven't really talked about this on air. Nothing happened to me, but I had to testify when I was 5 years old in a court case for this exact activity. So this hits close to home for me. So when I look at this, and this is sexual perversion for any adult to child. This is not what I'm saying. All of this is not inclusive of male to male, right? Age bracket to age bracket. I'm saying this, it's better that a millstone is tied around the necks of those who lead a little one astray. And I think we, you know, really need to start looking at, man, you can destroy the psyche, the image, you know, the preference, everything at what God created that little one to be by exposing them to that kind of graphic and horrific and traumatizing event like molestation of any sort and kind. So when we get to this, we need to realize that sometimes it's generational iniquities. You know, people are born this, oh, I was born gay. But if you actually start to look back into the family line, you can start to see that there was, you know, really irate, promiscuous activity that was happening that their parents were involved with, their grandparents were involved with. You can say, oh, the dad, maybe he was into watching lesbians, and it unlocks a spirit for, you know, a gay spirit to literally be run rampant in his household. And well, so these are all things that I see, and I'm not saying everybody needs to agree with me, but in a nutshell, that's what I would kind of kick back to.
Absolutely. Thank you, Rod. I appreciate that. Klaus, Yeah. So are we approaching this correctly as Christians, as the church? Because in my video, I ranted, this guy wasn't, I'm not going to say he wasn't gay. I'm going to say you were molested. He didn't realize that. He was a little boy. This guy was 40 something years old. Are we approaching this right when people come and they're living an alternative lifestyle, just saying, hey, you're gay, I'm sorry, you're out of my life? Or do we need to dig deeper and find out more about the person as a human being? I'm not saying to condone anything, that's not what I'm saying. But what say you, Klaus?
Well, I think that number one, we need wisdom in how to deal with people. We're supposed to love all people. We're supposed to lead people to Jesus. You know, it's like you said, we might be the last evangelist. We might be the last Christ type person that an individual sees. And that is highlighted by the capacity for us to show love. And so I don't know if there's a direct answer for that other than to just humbly ask God, give me wisdom. When you have an individual that's like that, that's struggling with that sin, which it's a sin, it's no different than any other sin, it'll take you to hell. But we need wisdom. Lord, give me wisdom. How do I deal with this individual? How do I love this individual in such a way that I'm not pacifying or justifying what they're doing, but I'm balanced? Love is always balanced in how it approaches.
Yeah, Caleb, thank you for that. Klaus, thank you. Caleb, but here's the thing. You take people that are heterosexuals, fornicating, adultery, you know, sex outside the ring of marriage. Well, the Bible talks about that too. Adulterers, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. But yet, are we as quick to come against people living together, people that are heterosexuals, as we are someone living what we call an alternative lifestyle? Caleb, what say you?
The way I look at it also is multi-layered, like Rod was saying. I think that in that case, somebody in a gay relationship, I've always thought it and believe it to be a mental illness in a way. On top of, there's also some manipulation that happens, as you've seen with the story you were telling. You know, a little boy was manipulated by somebody else. And then I also believe that, you know, there's evil spirits that get into people too, demonic spirits that enhance that and kind of make it drive more and more.
So, yeah.
That's kind of where I think about it. And, love is the answer. I love everybody. And I think we all should, as Christians as well, love everybody. It's a mix of mental illness, I feel like, and, you know.
And you know what? Thank you, Caleb. I want to talk about this underground. You mentioned mental illness, and I'm not disagreeing, but do we call adultery, fornication, mental illness? It's still sexual perversion. It's a question. These are questions I'm asking, and people ask me these questions. I get hard questions, man. When I go out play, people, they come after me big time, and I'm asking you guys these questions to bail me out. I want to go to another really easy subject here. Let's look at this.
When God looks down on a Sunday morning, is he pleased with the worship?
I think, David, according to the Word of God, God seeks the heart. It's not about the day. It's about the heart. It's about how we worship God. It's about why we worship God. And I'm asked this question often, especially in Israel. And I answer with a parable. And the parable is this. If there are two people, one is worshiping on a Sabbath, the other one is worshiping on a Sunday. The one that's worshiping on a Sabbath is teaching the truth. And the one that's worshiping on a Sunday is not teaching the truth. Which one will God honor?
The one teaching the truth.
Right. So it's not about the day. It's about the spirit. The Bible says in the book of John that the Father is looking for those to worship him in spirit and in truth. That's what it's about.
So what do you say, guys? Anybody have something they want to say on that? Okay. Yeah, Aaron.
I mean, Jesus was literally crucified for, you know, healing on the Sabbath, right? It's not about the day. That's what the church does. That's what the Pharisees did. It's just the Sabbath is literally created. Obviously, we all know this. But for any viewers, a day of rest, God knows what we need.
Mm-hmm.
So just preaching truth every day is all we really need to focus on. It doesn't need to be the day or the hour. There's not an allotted time. every day.
Okay. Okay. All right. Gotcha. Anybody else have something they want to say on that? Well, let me ask you guys about Easter. Is God happy with Easter? I'm just going to come around and say it. I don't want to mess around because we don't have a lot of time. Is God happy with Easter? Esther, and I'm trying to figure this thing out, worshiping on Sunday, Easter, and yet people don't remember Passover. They don't know much about it. Is God happy with it? Is he okay? Are we going to get a free get out of jail card on this one? Anybody?
I think a lot of people are going to be saved on this Easter, and a lot of people get baptized and come to church. And until we can educate the masses about all the pagan roots and all this and get them free from that, I think we should just focus on winning souls and getting people into the kingdom first. And then we'll figure out all the what's under the great giant pyramids and all the amazing stuff out there and the conspiracies and which day to worship. And honestly, I don't really know the answer to all those detailed wise. I just know God's heart is for souls and getting people saved.
Okay. Yeah. However you can do it. So that's okay. And speaking of the kingdom, I'm going to play this and get your all's opinion on it.
People talk about dying and going to heaven. Is this real?
There's a couple different ways of looking at it. With something this broad, we have to take it case by case basis, yeah, because we serve a very powerful God and he can do anything, sure, he wants. So I do fully believe that at times. Sometimes people can be deceived. That can happen too, and they don't know it. And then sometimes they're having a genuine experience. Now, we're just talking about near-death experiences. The ascension into the courts of heaven stuff where people are willing themselves into heaven and they say that they anytime they want they can go and up to heaven and talk to God. I have a very hard time believing that because that sounds like astral projection to me. And I don't see any biblical basis for us invading heaven like that. The only time I know of where that was attempted was the Tower of Babel, and that didn't turn out so well. But like we talked about in the first segment, God can do anything he wants. And I think sometimes he can give somebody a vision or a real experience. So with near-death experiences, what we have to keep in mind, near-death is not actual death. The closest we can get, but if you come back, then you didn't actually die.
Yeah. The reason I brought this one up is because these are questions I get most. These are top 10 questions, okay? People have dreams or they'll have experiences and they'll say they sat with Jesus and, you know, had a cup of coffee and Jesus told them to go do this and do that. And I want to get your all's, take on it. What do you think? I mean, obviously we have scripture and we can go to scripture and so forth, but I've interviewed so many people. I'm sure you all have. How do you tell somebody that says they went to heaven and hung out with Jesus that, I don't know, maybe they didn't? Rod, what do you say?
So I actually did some collaborations with Josh Peck, and I shared with him a portion of my near-death encounter that happened at like 19, 20 years old. And we got onto this idea of sub-pocket realm effects. And when I said that to him, he's like, whoa, that's really good. I wrote a book on near-death encounters. And we started to chop it up. But what I would say is, I think there's a stark difference of dying and leaving your body versus riding the veil, right? And I think, like, the Apostle Paul, I think he had multiple near-death encounters. When you read the scriptures, I think God pulls your ticket, you're going with him. Like when your work is done, when he wants you, he's calling you home. The birds of the air, he doesn't let them slide without knowing what they've eaten when they left their nest. There's no way you're going to die unless it's God's approving that, in my opinion, right? Or knows the reality of your situation. So I think near deaths can be used to wake people up, and they can also, you know, attempts on your life, right? The Apostle Paul was bleeding for the sake of the gospel. He's shipwrecked. He's beaten with stones, with whips, with all different types of objects. I think he has near-death encounters. But it's really hard to talk about something that we don't know. Jesus is the only one who dies and comes back, right? And he goes down into the lower portions of the earth and preaches, hey, listen, you're defeated. This is what happened to those who were in chained in that pit. So it's a loaded question, but it's a very interesting one.
Yeah, exactly. So here's the thing, the way I see it, is that I don't know if people go to heaven. I don't know why, and this is an I don't know thing. It's not, just say it the Lord. But I don't know why God would invite somebody to heaven and share something with them to come back and tell the world when God can do it through Scripture. The Holy Spirit can do it anyway. The danger in that is if they come back telling something that's not of God. And my concern is that they get misled. You see what I'm saying? There's a misleading. And we know that in these last days that we're going to have a misleading from the Antichrist. Let's look at this, and I want to ask you guys this.
The Antichrist, is it a system or a man?
It's definitely an entity, but I think that it represents the system. The system is the representation of it in the physical world. And this, to me, is all part of that one world government, new world order. Somebody's going to be sitting at the head. The Antichrist wants to cloud our minds and to convince us that this is the one true way, the actual light, Lucifer, the light bringer, that this is somehow a greater revelation than anything we might have learned in church.
Yeah. We're down to our last 5 minutes here on this segment, then we're going to go underground. Anybody have anything they'd like to say on the Antichrist, what they think it is? Is he here? Is it a he? Is it a she? Is it a system?
Lying signs and wonders. You're going to see marvelous things, no different than Pharaoh literally going against Moses during the Exodus, right?
Yeah.
So shall it be in the days of Noah. There was a lot of things that were happening. You know, there was genetic manipulation. We see that happening. We have dire wolves literally being created right now. I mean, if you think this is normal, I mean, that's the world literally trying to normalize what's not normal. And Jesus is coming soon.
Yeah, genetic manipulation. Absolutely.
Are you saying that these implants that people are going to get are going to energize them into modern day Nephilim?
What I think is going to happen, this is conjecture.
Yeah.
The implant interfaces with the human body through the nervous system. We used to think it interfaced to the blood circulatory system. It doesn't. It works through the nervous system. We also think that it will change the host's DNA.
So that's what Michael Lake says.
I know. As a matter of fact, we've talked about
three or four of my interviews are saying the same thing. Yeah. Very interesting.
It changes the host DNA, and you become Nephilim. You become the seed of the serpent, which is why there's no redemption.
Wow. Is this happening now, in your opinion?
Let's put it this way. We took out was 40 years old. The new ones, you can't cut open. We don't really know what they can do and how they work. It's like Stanton Friedman's analogy. Columbus going into a nuclear submarine, he'd have no idea what he was looking at.
Yeah. I tie that into, Aaron, what you were talking about with the genetic manipulation and DNA and so forth. Do you guys think that this is happening now, that they are among us? Because, you know, when you talk about the genetic perverting of genetics, you also have to talk about the spiritual aspect of it, the spirit of the Nephilim, okay, embodying that. Would anybody like to say that in our last few minutes on, do you believe it's here now? How do you think it's happening? Do you see anything? What's going on? Sure, Aaron, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to pass it along to somebody else because I think we're all on the same page.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So I'll comment a little bit on it. The Nephilim, Genesis 6:4, you know, lines up with the seed war, Genesis 3, the seed of the serpent versus the seed of the woman, the offspring being Jesus that crushes the head of the enemy. And when we look at genetic manipulation today, what they're actually doing, which is no longer a conspiracy, is really interesting to think about. How does God define what is outside of his order of design? So Nephilim in the Hebrew, Nephal, we get in the Greek, Geas. Earth, Gia, right? And then Gigantis is the transliteration, which the entities are large, right? They're 14 footers and greater, 24 digits, you know, six fingers on each hand. And they're not normal. You know, this is recorded all throughout the word. And this is earthborn. That's why it's not, in my opinion, what God is showing us is not born of the spirit. It's not the order of God's creation. So as soon as we start making chimeras or manipulating the genome type, even within kinds, the kind, right? I mean, it's a whole study and a whole thing on it, but just to scratch the surface with it, I think anything that we do, just like the Bible says, it's sin to not do what you know is right. It's also sin to manipulate, to mess with anything that God has created a specific way. if we go in and start messing with the genome type and on a molecular level, we're taking, you know, plants and sinning against them. You know, if we're taking animals and sinning against them, humans and sinning against them, this is, it's the same business today as it was in the days of Noah, because they were earth born. They were not born of the spirit and the order of God. So we're seeing the same thing play out. It's just the technology is represented a little bit different in our day and age, because we have, you know, we have iPhones and we have these new computers and we have all these things that we think separate us, but I don't think it's that much different today as it was back then.
It's just repackaged.
Just repackaged. And Rod, you're absolutely right, you guys. You know, I talked about earlier, we played a video, as in the days of Noah, Noah saying, come to the ark, the wood made of ark. And then now today we say, come to the cross. We're, because I know all you all are out in the ministry, but your main thing is come to Jesus. That at the end of the day, you can talk about all the Nephilim, talk about, you know, the chips, and where it's come to Jesus. Without that and everything else is. And so there's two things in the day. Yes. Yeah. As in the days of Noah, come to Jesus. But also we need to be wise and understand what else was happening in the days of Noah. And because the enemy wants to take God's people out. Rod, we just got a few minutes. I want to go around, tell everybody the name of your ministry, how they can get in touch with you, how they can support you.
Yeah, so I just want to add one quick thing in to what you were just saying. Before Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, he said, thrice, do not be deceived. So just remember that. My name is Rod Smith. I am the creator, the host, the producer of Millennial Mustard Seed Podcast. We're in season 6 now. I can be found on any podcast catcher, Apple, Spotify, the list goes on and on, Radio Public. You guys know the deal. Authored my first book, released that last year. It's called The Words Are Salt. We're working on a documentary right now starring the likes of Dr. Lars Sanger and other very interesting names out there. I work directly with Aaron, Klaus Chavis, Michael Basham, and Caleb, and we are the remnant force. We are the army of volunteers coming together and saying, I see you, I love you, and I'm going to highlight what lane you're in, because we all need each other in this day that we're living in.
Amen, brother. Thank you, Rod. God bless you. I appreciate it. Michael, your ministry, how they can get in touch with you, brother.
Yes, sir. We're in Western North Carolina, but traveling throughout the world. My uncle runs Derek Prince Ministries, recently passing that to some newer, younger guys. And we're Spirit Force, Spirit Wars on Fringe Radio Network. It's continuing the original seed line of the movement. Ever since Future Quake and Canary Cry. And it's just great to see the whole band come together. And we're focusing a lot on spiritual warfare, how to use your words as seeds, planting and harvesting. So there's so much that I can't even wrap my head around it, but the Lord is doing a lot of miracles with us. So faithbucks.com is my personal site. And we have an app now, fringeradionetwork.com. So please join us, and I hope to collaborate more with you, David. And I'm going to davidheavener.tv right now to become a...
Oh,
thank you. I don't know about you guys, but...
Thank you. We need that support. Thank you so much. We want to support you all, too. You're welcome. Klaus, is there any... we just have about a few seconds here, but how can they get in touch with you, or is there anything you want to tell anyone? What's your last words?
Yes, so I have a ministry. It's online. You can find it on YouTube at Digital Disciple Ministries. And we have a church also, I Am International Apostolic Ministries. And we are going to make disciples of all nations. And the Lord is sending us out to do exactly that. And we're excited. I'm honored to be locking arms with an elite group of believers whose priority is to bring the kingdom as best as they can until Jesus comes to get us.
Amen. Amen, brother. Aaron, how about you, buddy?
I'm just here to lift up all of you guys. I recently joined forces with Rod and Millennial Mustard Seed and had my first interview. But, you know, I just want to make everything about God. And just my goal is to literally bring all these armies together to collaborate, to amplify the message of Jesus Christ. And that's all I care about. And I just pray that, you know, even one person from this message get saved. And amen. I thank all of you men. You're amazing.
Amen, brother. Appreciate you. Caleb, you got the last word here, buddy.
All right. Well, I don't have any ministries, but I do write music for therapy, and you can check it out on at Caleb Wade Music on YouTube. I thank God for every single lyric I've ever gotten. It's not me. He channels it through me. So other than that, man, I'm just grateful to be here. I'm grateful to be, you know, new to this, new to these guys, and just learning through them and learning through you, David. And man, it's just been such a blessing. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome, guys. Stay with me. We're going to go for a break, and I'm going to come back and pray with you guys, for you guys. Shanita's going to come on with me.
Well, I want you to go to davidhebner.tv. We have two exclusive videos that are up. You won't see anyplace else. I'm Dr. Michael Lake. The first one is Technocracy and Tyranny. That's part two. Part one is MK Ultra is used today, program multiples and mass shootings. This is stuff you're not going to get anywhere else. You'll get it on davidhebner.tv. Please support us. If you haven't signed up, go and sign up now. You get a 2 months free if you sign up for a year. And folks, it is not expensive, but it really does help the ministry. And also, you'll get over 700 videos. Spencer, go. What are the names of some of those channels up there?
Yeah, David, we've got the live stream channel. We've got the Russ Dizdar tribute channel, David's Choice in the Spotlight, Spiritual Warfare Training, Alien Demon Connection, The Last Evangelist TV series, originals and exclusives, Mind Control.
And it's the only place you can see Last Evangelist, davidhebner.tv.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you all for going, signing up there and supporting us. We do need your help. Thank you so much. God bless you. Shanita, we got some praise reports, prayer requests.
Wow. Yes. Yeah, we sure do. Y'all have been praying for Jasmine, and she's just recovering from surgery today really well. Thank you for your prayers. And you've also been praying for Shelley, and she is experiencing healing after a whole year and a half of dealing with digestion issues. So thank you so much for praying.
Amen. Jasmine is a young girl. She's in her teens, and she's got bit by a tick, but it affects her mental. I mean, people go crazy over this. And good Christian gal from a good Christian family, been praying for her. And I praise God for that. Whenever God answers prayers, we got to be diligent and go out and give him glory and shout it to the world so they can see the miracles that God does. That's the testimony. Shanita, we've got it's always the clock. It's like, you know, the last day, the last minute, the last second. But we have a couple seconds. I know we're going to pray for the guys, but who else do we need to pray for?
We're praying for Kay's family, for Lori Ann's family, her husband. And Rob has asked prayer as well for his heart issues.
Okay, good. And can you real quick go around and just say what we're praying for Rob and for Caleb? Rod, Caleb, Michael.
Yes. For Klaus, he's got a men's gathering this weekend in Pennsylvania and then next month in Pakistan. And for Rod, for his work with God and Guns. And for Aaron, that we're sending on the promise that the enemy weapons against him will not prosper. And fill me in on what I'm missing.
Who are we missing there? Caleb?
We're traveling all over the states, so just pray for the Basham family for all these safe travels and meetings. All yes.
Right. All right, we will. Let's go to the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for loving us.
Thank you, Lord.
For each and every one of these gentlemen that are here with us, yes, right now, that are listening to the sound of my voice
right now.
We ask, Lord,
thank you, Father,
for a healing, for a blessing, for an anointing on each and every person. Commanding a healing in Jesus' name. Commanding that healing in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, in Jesus' name.
No right to God's children
right now.
Command you back into the Lord God. If your strength, we were healed. Demon of perversion.
Speak that, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Yes, I come into agreement with that in Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father. It is done. Let it be so.
That your will be done right now.
Children. In Jesus', Jesus' name,
Lord, we're in agreement for your purposes right now.
Yes, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Lord God.
Hallelujah. All right. Thank you, guys. I appreciate you. Don't go away. I'm going to
bring you back on an underground. We have to sign up here for a moment, and we'll be right back. All right. I love you guys. I appreciate you all. And if you see fit, please, 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 we've got, you got to go underground. Okay. Underground. It's in, well, it was 2 minutes ago, but anyway, we're there. Love you guys. I appreciate you. Never really lived till you found someone worth dying for. And that's Christ Jesus. God bless you.